I'm Jefferson Geiger, and welcome to the final episode of Tales of the Tellers. Yes, it does go all the way to 11. For this finale, I talk with Justin McElroy, managing editor for Polygon. We talk about theater, playing video games with siblings, and dealing with an international journalism team. Thank you all for listening. It's been a blast doing this. I would tell you to enjoy the show, but seeing as you've made it this far, you probably already do. So once again, thanks. So today we have Justin. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Let's start at the beginning. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Huntington, West Virginia, which is sort of where, if you know your U.S. geography, it's where Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky all meet, in that general area. So it's the home mainly of Marshall University.
Okay.
Which is featured in the hit film We Are Marshall. It is a lot of people's main familiarity with Huntington. But that's where I grew up here in the mountains.
Okay, cool. And that's where you're at now?
That is where I have remained. Yep.
Nice.
Video gaming hotbed. Huntington, West Virginia.
So what's your family like? Brothers, sisters, parents, game, or?
We grew up playing video games in our house. We had an Atari before I can remember, and NES, and after that, we usually would tragically sell our old gaming console when the new one came out, and all our games to be able to afford it. There wasn't a ton of money to go around, so we sort of leapfrog from generation to generation. Dad played a lot. My dad's sort of a proto nerd. He's way into comics and stuff like that. He's written a few, and that sort of leapfrogged into gaming, which something he passed down to us. So we spent our formative years playing games. Me and my youngest brother, Griffin, more, I think, than our middle brother, Travis. And Griffin and I both write about video games now, and Travis does scenic design, but still keeps his toe in the video game water.
Okay. What do your parents do for a living?
Well, my mom passed away about 6 years ago. My dad is a radio disc jockey. He has done the morning show at the country music station here for, 2 decades now, but he's been in radio for almost 4 years now. So that's his trade, is radio.
Okay, cool. Where in your life did you know that you wanted to become a journalist? Have you always been writing, or did that come later?
No, when I started my career path was to perform. I got my degree in acting and directing in Marshall, and I had sort of casually been writing. I'd always been a fan of video games and a big fan of video game journalism. I subscribed to all the magazines and stuff, and would read those constantly. But for some reason, it didn't reveal itself to me as a career path. It's a probable career path, largely because when I first was getting started, or when I was younger, and those ideas might have formed themselves, it just wasn't practical to do that in West Virginia. I mean, no one from Huntington was a game journalist. I mean, you might as well say you wanted to be a leprechaun. So the idea just never really occurred to me. And it wasn't until I got to college and writing on the internet started to be more of a possibility. And I started freelancing for a bunch of different video game magazines. And I started a newspaper, actually, with the journalism. I was freelance stringing at the Huntington paper, and then I took a job as a news editor at a paper in Ohio, and then moved back to Huntington, or I started working in Huntington again, covering the university for the newspaper there. And while I was doing that and still freelancing about video games, I got the my first sort of industry gig at Joystick.
Okay. So
Let's back up a little bit. What drew you to acting and the theater and things like that?
It was always something that we did growing up. We had been involved with community theater from the time I was 10, I guess. So it was always something my family loved to do. We would all do it together. Dad directed and performed, and the three of us all performed in theater. Travis stayed with it. And I still keep my toe in. I'm actually directing a show right now. I direct children's theater with my wife.
Okay. Cool.
So yeah, it was always something we loved, but at some point, I mean, it's very unrealistic to think you could have a career in acting. And at some point, and it's equally unrealistic, I think, to say you can have a career in writing about video games. And at one point, you know, the technology shift just made one slightly less impossible than the other. So I decided to pursue that.
Yeah. Well, what show are you directing now?
It's called The Bird It's a Plane of Superman. It's a musical from the mid-60s based on Superman, written by some of the people who did music for Bye Bye Birdie. Not performed very often, largely because it's expensive over the fly and all. But it's something that I've actually wanted to direct since I was like 15 or so. So it's kind of one of those lifelong dream type things.
That's really cool. You said you started around 10. Do you remember like what your first play was?
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. I was the title role in Winnie
nice.
The Pooh. Yeah. So that was my first, and it's actually the same organization that I'm directing for now.
Okay.
So that was pretty. It's kind of wild. Take that on. So, yeah. My actual first acting gig was I played Jerome, young Polynesian boy in South Pacific for the university, and then on from there.
That's really cool. What do you think is if you had to pick a favorite play or favorite part that you've done?
I played Amundsen, Roald Amundsen, a Norwegian who raced Englishman Robert Falcon Scott to the South Pole in a play called Terra Nova. And that was, I'd always been sort of the chubby character actor guy that did like funny stuff. And that was the first time I got to be the bad guy. I still don't know how convincingly I pulled it off, but that was my favorite.
Okay, cool. And so back to Joystick, how did you exactly get that job?
I had applied. They did like an open cattle call type thing. And I sent my application in and didn't hear anything. And then 6 months later, I was doing a video game blog for the newspaper I was working at. And I had written this thing about, I'll never forget, it was about Gallagher's Gallery, which is a FMV game where you were with stand-up comedian Gallagher shooting things in the same vein of, like, Mad Dog McCree or any of those other American laser games. And I had done a collection of clips in a post, and I sent it to Joystick in the hopes that they might like it and link to it. And when I sent it, My Chris Grant, who's the editor-in-chief, said, oh, I had been meaning to get in contact with you. We have these spots open up, and we liked your application, so would you be interested in coming aboard? And I actually started as a freelancer for them, sort of a freelance contractor where I was writing a set number of posts, in the paper posts, and yeah, that's how that happened.
Okay, cool. And how long were you at Joystick?
From March of 2007 to December of 2012.
Okay, so right? You were there all the way until Polygon.
Yeah, I went straight from Joystick to Polygon.
Okay.
December.
Yeah, I think that's
December
right.
December of 2011, actually.
Okay, yeah.
December of 2011, because we started, I joined Vox in January of 2012. God, okay. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So how exactly did that happen? Like, because you said Chris Grant was at Joystick. You were at Joystick. Was your brother at Joystick too, or?
Griffin was at Joystick as well. Yeah, he was the, he was our news editor at that point. Yeah.
Okay. And so then what exactly, like, what was your thought process of, let's just all go and start our own thing?
It was mainly the opportunity that Fox offered us to sort of, here's a clean slate. Here's, you know, how would you guys make a better video game website? And I liked working at Joystick. It's a great gig. I love the people there. Love them. But the opportunity to sort of make your own thing from scratch so rarely presents itself that it was really something that we couldn't pass up.
Okay, cool. And so mentioned your brother. What is that like? Working with your brother, is that, I don't know, weird at all? Or
no, it's really not. I mean, he and I have worked together at Joystick, and we worked together, and maybe it was a little weird at first. I mean, I think the thing that works, and I think that a lot of people advise you that, like, when you're at work, you know, you keep the employer-employee dynamic, and then, you know, when you're not on the clock, then you're brothers, but Griff and I are just brothers all the time, so that I think that works in our favor. We know that, like, our, you know, when it comes down to a hard call, I'm the one who makes it, but I don't treat him any differently, you know, whether we're working or not. I mean, mm-hmm. that relationship is always going to take priority over any gig, so I think, why did I keep that in line? Now, sometimes I'll lord my power over him from time to time because he's still my little brother, but that the work never really changes that.
Well, what's the age difference between you guys?
It's about 7 years. 6.5 years, 7 years.
Okay. So were you really close growing up with the video games or not so much? Like, did you play co-op games and things like that a lot, or...?
Yeah, all three of us played a lot. Griffin very early got into some areas of video games that didn't appeal to me as much. He got super deep into, like, Japanese RPGs and stuff like that, which weren't really... He actually went to a read for the Final Fantasy game. But that wasn't necessarily where my interests lie. I played a lot of those games, but he was always more hardcore, I think, than I was.
Okay, cool. And, I'm pretty sure you guys have, like, a podcast together, right?
We have a couple. We have a video game podcast that we do with Polygon called The Besties, which we do with other editors, Chris Plant, Russ Freshtick. And then Griffin and I have our own comedy podcast called My Brother and Me, which is an advice podcast on the Maximum Fun Network.
Okay, so how did that come about?
My brother and me was really after Griffin and Travis both moved out of Huntington. We were trying to figure out a way to stay in better contact, and it really started as a way so we have something that we did together, and made sure we all stayed in touch really well. So that and in that respect, it's worked magnificently. We chose an advice show just because we don't have a whole lot of overlap in our Griffin and I and Travis don't have a lot of overlap in our knowledge bases. So we had to pick something pretty general. And I think Griffin and I are both kind of sick of talking about video games, and that's our day job. So we wanted something that wouldn't involve those. So. That was how that show came along.
Okay, cool. You're the managing editor at Polygon. What exactly does that entail?
You know, it's funny. That title means a lot of different things at a lot of different websites. Mm-hmm. Even at other sites in the Vox media family, it means different stuff. For us, we have a lot of people on staff that have been former editors-in-chiefs and former bosses. So it's really not for me about trying to exert control over them. For me, I look at myself more as a coordinator, making sure all the pieces are working together really well. When we first started, you know, a lot of people were worried about too many chefs in the kitchen, and I think that was a practical concern and one that was, you know, pretty well founded. But I think that since we've been working on the site together, we've ironed a lot of that out. But that is sort of the main thrust of my job, I think, is keeping all those pieces working and making sure everybody has the things they need. Because most people under me are much smarter than myself, so it's mainly about making sure they have the tools and they have everything they need. And I still do a lot of content. I write reviews and mm-hmm. do some video stuff and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and your team is international. Is that challenging?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, the nice thing about coming from Joystick to Polygon is that I'm very used to working with a remote team. Joystick was all remote. I mean, we have people all over, and Polygon is also similarly remote. We have concentrations of people in San Francisco and New York, but then, like, Chris is in Philadelphia, Chris is in Austin. We have people in San Francisco, L.A., like you said, London, Ohio, Australia. That can be a challenge, especially with different time zones, but the trick to just hiring people that you trust with the reins, because there's a lot of times, especially with our Australian reporter, Jenna, she is sort of running the ship by herself because it's a crazy late hour here. So I think that planning all-hands meetings is a challenge sometimes. It usually ends up being just like, what's the least miserable for everyone? Because there's not a whole lot of overlap there. But by and large, I think we've got a pretty good handle on it.
Would you prefer, like, one office for everyone, or do you think this works out perfectly fine and it's better?
You know, there are times when it can get a little lonely not working in an office. I don't, you know, see my coworkers physically particularly often. So that can be a bit of a drain sometimes. But I'm, by nature, an introvert, so working here on my own isn't a huge problem for me typically. I mean, there are certainly strengths. I think that our ability to cover more events across the country without having to spend as much on travel is a pretty big plus. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have a lot of people with diverse opinions and diverse perspectives because they're coming from different parts of the world. So yeah, I mean, it's always fun, like at E3, for example, when all of us are under the same roof. But it's also, I would say, we always struggle with productivity during that time because it's like we all really like hanging out together. And I think that we would have, all of our word count would probably drop considerably if we're always under one roof.
Cool. What are some of your favorite pieces that you've written?
I tend to like the pieces that I'm least comfortable with taking on initially. I'm proud of a lot of reviews I've written. Polygon allows me to do a lot of longer form writing. There's a guy I've written two features on named Matt Gilbenbach, who is a developer for... it's called Infinitap Studio now. He used to be under the 24 Karat Games banner, but he made a game called Retrograde, and I profiled him and sort of his anxiety about how well that game would perform. And then about a year later, when it tanked, basically, financially, I wrote another long-form feature with him about sort of the impact that that has had on him. And I think that between those two, it's a really human story, and in video games you don't get a whole lot of those. And that's one of the key things that we wanted to try to do with Polygon, so I would say that I'm probably most proud of those.
Okay, very nice. So why have you stayed in Virginia the whole time, if you have, you know, the things happening in New York and San Francisco and...
Well, West Virginia.
Yeah, actually. West Virginia, sorry.
West Virginia. No, sorry, no problem. Very common mistake. I love it here. And that's really the best. I mean, I can, I guess, is the big answer. I work for people that are comfortable with me doing that. Mm-hmm. There are certainly opportunities that I would take on if I moved to a larger city, but this is my home. I mean, my wife's a doctor here. Okay. And she, so she's pretty ingrained here in this location, and this suits me living here. And as long as I can keep doing this remotely, I think it's what I do because Huntington's my home and I've always really loved it here. So as long as I don't have to choose between the location and my dream job, then I probably won't.
Very nice. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, it would be nice for me to, I don't know, visit San Francisco and New York, but it's so weird that, you know, competitive and pretty low-paying job has you in some of the most expensive places to live. So, but yeah. So before we wrap up, do you have any advice for journalists who want to break into the industry?
Which industry specifically?
Journalism in general or video game journalism?
So I can speak to video game journalism, I think, better because I'm more familiar with that. And I would say the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to get into game journalism is thinking that playing a lot of video games is a calling card or the main thing they need to do the gig. Mm-hmm. Lots of people do that a lot, and the people that can set themselves apart and turn it into a job are people who can express their feelings about games and write about them really well. That doesn't necessarily mean going to journalism school. I didn't, and a lot of our employees didn't, but it does mean reading a lot and writing a lot. If you say you want to write about games, or I guess any topic, and you aren't writing every day, then you're doing it wrong. Start practicing and writing now and look for opportunities where other people aren't. And I think that was the way I succeeded, and I think it's still a pretty good path.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and spending your time with me.
Sure, absolutely.